and we can never really exhaust the three elements that are mentioned here again. The presence of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord. And we need to realize that in the day of weakness, when we young one look at our local assemblies, and we find that we are very few in number, very weak, very little strength, and we look around us and say, well, why? What? The thing that we need to keep in mind is not really how many people that we have there, but if we have these three things. That is really what should characterize our gathering. Number one is the presence of the Lord. If we have the presence of the Lord, then His characteristic, our gathering, will take character from His presence. Holiness will be maintained, order will be maintained, and love will be flowing. That is the thing that God could not give them more than that. He said, I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. And again, the term, the expression, the Lord of hosts, was used by the first time, actually, by a weak sister. It was Hannah who have used that terminology when she addresses the Lord. The first time it comes. So when we are so weak to that point that even she was barren, she could rely on the Lord of hosts. So when we look around us and we see we are very few in number, let's just keep in mind, do we have the presence of the Lord? Then what else do we need? But then there is, with that privilege come the responsibility. The second thing is the word of God. How is the word of God esteemed among us? Is it important? Do we apply it to everything that we do? So when somebody asks us why we gather the way we gather, do we show from the word of God that this is a way that the scripture have laid it to us? Though we might be two or three. The third thing is having the Spirit of God in our midst. I mean, what a grand privilege to have the Spirit of God that could lead, that could guide, that could take the things of God, the hidden things of God, and make them known unto us. What else do you want more than that? Do you want an eloquent preacher? Do you want a big congregation? Do you want to have a choir? Do you want to have these things? Or do you want to have these three things that the Lord could give to His people? My presence, my word, my spirit. To sustain and to characterize the gather of these small group of people that came faithfully and were encouraged to build the house of the Lord.
So that principle does not change in light of New Testament. So that, for example, when you go to the epistle to the Corinthians and there was issue to be dealt with, even in such an epistle, the Apostle Paul brings these three wonderful two persons and the Word of God. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5, says, though I'm absent, but he brings the name of the Lord Jesus as the one who is the midst. You have the presence of the Lord. He brings before them in that whole epistle the wonderful act of the Spirit of God, and he reminds them of all the writings, which is the Word of God. It was all the resources that they need to deal with anything. And brethren, it is still the same in our days after thousands of years. Because God's principles take character from Himself, He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just want to say a quick word of what Brother Simon said about be strong. Apparently, David, as we have heard, he strengthened himself. There was no the exhortation, be strong, but he who was in tune with God's thoughts, he knew that the only thing he can do is be strengthened in Him. But it has always come, as we were reminded, in a time where there's a transition or a vessel that is a little fearful, that God comes in support. I think the one that comes to mind is Joshua. Here is his older brother Moses. He's taken from the scene. And now he has this kind of ministry to carry on the testimony, if you will. And the Lord says, listen, be strong. As I was with Moses. So God gives him the same provisions that Moses enjoyed. What a wonderful God we have. But when we come in light of New Testament, you know what it says about the young men in 1 John in the writing of the family? He says, I write unto you young men because you are strong. Why are you strong? For the word abideth in you. What a wonderful time for all of us, young and old, to spend and enjoy the Word of God. Because as far as the writing of John, it's a source, as we have heard, of strength. Because ye are strong. How are they strong? The Word of God abideth in them.
We have the little phrase there, the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. That's a very interesting thing. He's taking their mind back to the God who promised wonderful things to that people. I was just thinking of the one thing he covenanted with him in Exodus 29, where he says in verse 45, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. It's marvelous that the God who called them is the God who established a relationship with them and promised to be in the midst of them, to dwell in the midst. And that's exactly what he rehearses to them here twice. He tells them, I am with you. And it's marvelous, that same promise, God keeps his promises. And the failure of Israel didn't change God's faithfulness. God remains the same. And that's marvelous for us, because we have to admit, we live in times where there's great failure, but God has remained the same. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can trust Him to keep His Word to the end.
It's interesting, John, isn't it, that he says, when I brought you, he's talking to a generation far distant from those that actually physically left Egypt, right? But he unites them to them, those that are His. He unites us with them. He unites us with those of the faithful past. We are as if we are being delivered from Egypt. See how he says it. Remember, as when you came out of Egypt. Well, none of those there physically came out of Egypt, did they? But he unites them to that. And there's also the covenant he made in Exodus 19, that he would deliver them from Egypt. I'm thinking of Exodus 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. They weren't just leaving Egypt. They were going to the Lord. And that's what we are. We have been delivered from the world, but not just delivered from the world. We've been brought to the Lord. We are the same in that respect as those Israelites that left Egypt. So we can take this verse and apply it to ourselves, too.
I have a question. I hope I don't divert us, but I'm noticing throughout this particular book that the Lord reveals himself and speaks as the Lord of hosts. Any thoughts with regard to that particular title, the Lord of hosts? I think, Neil, go ahead.
Amel gave the thought earlier.
Could you help me again, sir?
About Hannah.
It was mentioned the first time, but what does it to distinguish him from just simply Jehovah?
Yeah, it is. To me, that expression, the first time usually kind of helped to find out why that expression was mentioned. Hannah used it first when she prayed. She used the expression, the Lord of hosts. And it was a person who is in a state of utter weakness cast herself completely upon the Lord, and her strength was found in Him. Now, you have a condition very similar to Hannah's condition. Very, very weak, very afraid from the enemies around them, coming, as we have heard earlier in the introduction, very small in number in comparison with the time of Solomon, where they were at the end of the sea, a multitude, they could not be numbered. They are very afraid, yet they could cast themselves on the Lord of hosts, the one who have a multitude of army to protect and to conserve, to defend them. So they use that expression by the Spirit of God to withdraw from the resources of one who have the numerous power and ability to protect them and to defend them.